Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here we go.
Four levels are set. Proper modulation. Let's go.
Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on AM 1250 and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries, home of the Bart's Baby Oh Baby breakfast for just $8.59. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman, Ryan Horvath as well. And most importantly, you at 414-799-1250, also at 105.7 FM, The Fan. As we continue to look at this Packers-Lions game tonight, it would put whoever wins this game atop the NFC North. We are joined now on the line by Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Michael Lombardi. You can hear him on the podcast, The GM Shuffle, available where we're available. Radio.com or wherever you get your podcast. Insider Calls brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Michael Lombardi back to the show on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Hello, Michael. How are you?
Hi, Michael.
I am great. Thank you. How are you guys doing?
We're doing all right. We're looking forward to this game. Are these the two best teams of the NFC North, you think, Green Bay and Detroit?
You know, I don't think that. Detroit's an interesting team. I think Detroit's done a really good job of playing complementary football. They haven't lost any games in terms of how they play. They've done a good job of attacking their opponent. Games are always close with them. I mean, the Charger game, typical for the Chargers. They let that one slip away. They could have won the Chiefs game, so they're back and forth. I think Minnesota's a better team than Detroit. I think Detroit is probably the third best team in the North.
We'll find out. I mean, they can be the number one best team in terms of the record, at least, if they take on the Packers, who have looked very good at 4-1. They tripped up against the Eagles, but there was a big win down in Dallas. Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, the defense, Mike Pettine, the guys they brought in, the new head coach, Matt LaFleur. Of this 4-1 start, Michael, how much do you attribute the success to what Matt LaFleur's been able to do?
Well, I think defensively, I think it's an organizational success. I think getting the Smith brothers, and I know they're not brothers, Preston and Zadarius, I mean, that gives them some huge effect on defense. And they've only turned the ball over four times on offense all year, which is critical. And the games that they, in the Philadelphia game that they lost, and they've created 11 turnovers. So, that just in itself is really huge. And the fact that they're able to find their identity defensively and get off the field and create plays for the defense, I think is remarkable. And then when they run the ball, like they did against Minnesota, they had a 144. When they run the ball like they did against Dallas, they had a 120. It makes life a lot easier. And I think Aaron Jones, one of the top five running backs in the league. I always did. When he came out at UTEP, I said on my podcast, the GM Shuffle, I said, this guy's going to be a steal in the fifth round for them. Only because if you watched him as a sophomore, he was dynamic. He had the injury as a junior, which he's kind of come back off of with a knee. But I think it's a little bit of a group effort. And I don't even think Rodgers has played his best football yet.
The only thing about Aaron Jones, and when the guy's out there, he makes plays. I mean, there's some games he's had. He's had a couple of rough games this year, but he's had two really, really good ones. The problem is, I think to be a top five running back, he needs to be on the field more and play, and I feel like they really limit his touches because of the injury history.
I definitely agree with that. I think durability is certainly the concern. That's the only concern I have with him. He's got to stay there, and he's got to stay healthy. And I think that's the key. And, but when he's healthy and he's going, man, he's really good.
Talking with Michael Lombardi again, the podcast, the GM Shuffle, one of our radio.com NFL insiders, M. Lombardi NFL on Twitter. A couple of things that worried us Packer people about the game in Dallas that are still worrying us tonight, because I don't know how much has changed. You've got the run defense that has not been great in Green Bay. And then you've got the fact that Devontae Adams is going to be out again, and you're going to need some of these other receivers to step up. What of those two things, run defense and no Devontae, what do you think is going to be a bigger hurdle for the Packers against this Lions team tonight?
Well, I think they got to play really good in the running game. I mean, look, their run defense is going to be hit or miss all year. I mean, they gave up 176 to Philly. They gave up 150, almost 150 to Denver. You know, Minnesota had a 198 against them running the football. I mean, that's going to be problematic. But I think the run defense has to be allowed to the turnovers, right? When you get 11 turnovers and you allow the other team to run the ball, that's pretty good on your case. And the fact that the Packers have only played an average of 28 minutes a game of defense this year, to me, the only way to play great defense in the NFL is to play less defense. The rules are skewed completely against you. And I think that's what they've been able to do. So the turnovers, if the turnovers stop coming, if they stop coming, and it's all related to the pressure on the passer, then we're going to have a real issue with the Packers on defense, and we're going to be questioning about how good they really are. The turnovers are what have saved them. It saved them in Dallas. It saved them. The only game they didn't get a turnover, Philadelphia, and they lost.
See, I always looked at turnovers. I mean, you got to be in the right position at the right time, and it takes a little luck, though, doesn't it, too, to win that turnover war?
Yeah. I mean, look, the first interception, Alexander's beat. If Dak puts the ball in a different spot, but a lot of these turnovers are related to pressure, right? So if you can get the quarterback to have to throw quicker than he wants to throw, then you've got a chance to create some turnovers. And I think that's what Pettine's trying to do. He's not worried about the down. He's not worried about how many yards he gives up. He's worried about getting the ball back. I mean, it's the same thing with Seattle. Seattle's done a really good job this year. Their defense, you can move the ball on them defensively. The problem has been, you know, they get those turnovers on you, and all of a sudden you're out of possession. You can't get back in, and then their offense is able to cash in on them, and it really makes a huge difference. So, look, the Lions know this going in. The Lions will be conservative. That's the one thing about the Lions. The Lions are going to play a style tonight. They're not going to try to expose their tackles. They're not going to try. They're going to try to play the pace of this game. And the key is going to be the Packers have to start fast. If they force the Lions to play from behind and make this a complete passing game, a drop-back pass game, and put the pressure on the Lions' offensive line to protect and Stafford to have to make tight window throws, they win the game. If this game stays balanced, it'll be a close game like most Lions games are.
Yeah, if the Packers putting on they got the pass rush going, and they've done a nice job getting the quarterbacks, not even necessarily sacking quarterbacks, but getting the quarterbacks, hitting them, taking them off their mark. If they do that to Stafford tonight, it might be a long night for the Lions.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's the key. Sacks are overrated. Sacks are a result of something that happened. Pressures are a result of the defense making the offense into doing something they don't want to do faster than they want to do it. That's the key to football, is pressure. The more times you can hit the quarterback, the more times you can pressure him, the more times the ball has to come out an eighth of a second too soon, the defense gains an advantage. A sack oftentimes is the result of something that happened. The offense missed a protection or did something wrong. Typically, you can avoid sacks even as bad as your offensive line. What you can't avoid are hurries. And when a quarterback sees a guy coming at his face, he's got to get rid of the football.
Talking with Michael Lombardi, one of our Radio.com NFL insiders. Also, you have a piece up at The Athletic that you put before the week, and I just wanted to get your thoughts now that we've seen what we saw yesterday in terms of where the NFC might rank out playoff-wise come the end of the season. You said you love San Francisco, and that was before they won. You had them at the top. Philadelphia, New Orleans, you had Green Bay at 4, Seattle, and then Dallas at 6. Did anything radically change for you after watching some of the games yesterday about where you rank these teams in the NFC?
I'm not going to go down the Dallas road. I think, you know, the one thing that Dallas that drives me crazy is at some point your head coach has to participate in the game, right? There's got to be a reason why he's the head coach. He's making $7 million a year. And I never get that sense from watching the Cowboys and Jason Garrett, right? If Garrett left at halftime, would anybody miss him? Seriously. I mean, that's to me, and yesterday they go into the game against a really bad Jet team, right? The Jets are not a good team whatsoever, and they can't finish off the game. Why? When you have to, the key is, Al Davis used to say this to me all the time, you got to figure out why you won and why you lost. Why did the Cowboys lose yesterday? Because of every critical game situation they failed in. Third downs in the red zone, third down, a red zone for offensive production, red zone defense. Big allowing big plays. Everything they failed at comes back to where the head coach is emphasizing on how to win the game. And I think that's why the Cowboys are going to fall. I think the Rams, the Rams, to me, they knew Goff wasn't a great player. They knew it. They invented Goff. Sean McVay invented Goff. He made Goff a good player, right? Goff with Jeff Fisher was a disaster. McVay comes in. He makes him a good player because he builds an offense around him, what he can do. And then they turn around and pay him. They turn around and pay him. They invented him, and then they pay him. It might, and I've said this 2 weeks ago, now everybody's agreeing. It's one of the most ridiculous contracts in pro sports. For that guy to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL when he can't win a game alone is really bad.
Speaking of bad contracts, Kirk Cousins, I want to ask you about this Vikings game because here's what it's like to be a Packer fan. And we're doing the show today, and you know the Packers are top of the NFC North. So the Vikings win yesterday. I think they overreact about how good they are. And then I'm talking to Vikings fans on Twitter, and they're saying, oh, well, we just beat a team that beat you. Well, we beat the Packers beat the Vikings this year. How much do we read into what the Vikings did yesterday? Because it was a nice game from Kirk, but he has those nice games. Noon at home, Kirk Cousins is the MVP. Anything else, he's just not that good. Do you buy them after yesterday?
Well, I think you got to look at the Eagles, right? The Eagles don't have anybody in their secondary that can cover. And I've been saying this for 2 years, right? I said this when they won the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl, they had nobody in their back end that could cover. I mean, the Patriots, they just did a great job with their offense of playing complimentary. Their defense played about 26 minutes a night back in when they won the Super Bowl. I mean, they had to turn the ball over. It was all about their front. The Eagles are about their defensive front. They can't cover anybody. And if you can block them up front, you're going to make a ton of plays on them because they don't have any matchups across the board, whether it's Sidney Jones, Rasul Douglas. It doesn't matter who it is. They can't cover. And I think that was proven yesterday. And I think if the Vikings can play a team, especially with their offensive line at home, where they can create an advantage for their line because of the crowd noise and take advantage of a bad secondary, Kirk Cousins is going to look half decent. Now, they couldn't run the ball yesterday. Madison was their leading rusher. I said before the game on VSiN that Dalvin Cook wouldn't be able to run the ball outside. I thought the Eagles would win the game because I thought they could limit Dalvin Cook. And, again, it bit me in the butt because I realized, which I've been saying all along, is the fact they have no ability to cover. I think the Eagles are all about who they match up to. If they match up to a team that won't exploit them, they'll win. I think the Packers play the Eagles again, they could easily beat them. I think you can't go by – it's all about matchups. It's not about my team's better than your team because you beat who. It's really all about matchups.
Although I think if Green Bay wins this game tonight, not only will they have covered the first half of the interdivision by going 3-0, I think they'll be the best team in the NFC. I think they'll record-wise maybe not, but I think they'll show to me they've been the most impressive through the first part of the season.
I think I'd argue with you. I think San Francisco's been way more impressive. I mean, San Francisco's defensive front, you'd have a hard time blocking that defensive front. That's really a good front. And the way they run the football on offense, especially with Kyle Shanahan against Mike Pettine, they know each other really well. I think that would be a harder game. And I think the Saint team, don't underestimate the Saint team. This Saint team's really good. This Saint team's good in the defensive front, and they play great complementary football. And Alvin Kamara is one of the top five players in the league. So I think those two teams are really good. I think the NFC is really, really a lot of good teams in it. And I think this is a huge game on a couple fronts. It's a huge game because of the North and the implications there. But it's also a huge game because any time, and that was the genesis of my column, was the fact that you get an NFC team playing against another NFC team, it magnifies the importance of the game because there's 11 teams that have a chance to make the playoffs in the NFC. And there's only 6 dance cards. So there's 5 teams that are going to be Steph watching the dance. And that's what makes all these games even more important.
Talking with Michael Lombardi, we appreciate it. You guys won't have to argue too much. Packers and the Niners do play a little later in the season. As far as the Saints, maybe the Packers see them in the postseason. Michael, we appreciate your time as always, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Michael Lombardi, you can find him on Twitter again at MLombardiNFL. Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Michael Lombardi. All insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Michael Lombardi also on the podcast that he alluded to, the GM Shuffle, available on Radio.com or wherever you get your podcast. Again, that Niners team, you know, maybe you haven't seen them a lot, maybe you have, but again, Packers and Niners will play the week prior to Thanksgiving. Before that delicious feast, little turkey, little gravy, that kind of meal, go get a delicious feast at Perkins. The Bart's Baby Oh Baby breakfast, it's available now. 2 eggs, smoked sausage, 2 bacon strips, 2 sausage links, hash browns or breakfast potatoes, and a choice of 3 pancakes, mammoth muffin or toast. You get that all for $8.59. So you will get, again, 2 eggs with smoked sausage and sausage links, 2 bacon strips, and then your choice of hash browns or breakfast potatoes, and then your choice of 3 pancakes, the Mammoth Muffin or Toast. You get it all for $8.59 at Perkins. Any greater Milwaukee area location has this for you. Ask for the Bart's Baby Oh Baby Breakfast. And then if you go today after 11 o'clock, what's free after 11 o'clock on Mondays, Chuck?
Let me finish. Pie Society, baby.
Pie Society Monday.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah, Pie Society.
Got too excited.
Pie Society.
You know me, screaming out pie any chance I get.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I was when we were there last week, they had a pie sit right up there. $13. I was like, man, I was going to take one of those. I would have ate it before I got home, though.
That was money well spent.
Yeah.
Bart's Baby Oh Baby Breakfast available at Perkins. Packers, Lions tonight. We continue to preview this game all day long. Dan Miller, voice of the Lions, is joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. So after we have trashed the Lions for an entire show, now we're going to find out what's good about them. Dan, thanks for a couple minutes. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, guys.
You know, obviously there's going to be attention on Aaron Jones, the Packer running back who exploded last week against Dallas. But I think if Detroit really wants to win this game, they're going to have to somehow neutralize Aaron Rodgers, if that's possible, because it all comes to Rodgers for the Packers anyway. No matter who else executes it, it comes down to Rodgers making plays, and he's the biggest part of this game tonight.
Yeah, I think that's always the case when you play Green Bay, but I do think it is important that the Lions find a way to slow down the running game of Green Bay. The Lions were really good stopping the run for about the last 10 games last year after Snacks Harrison arrived in Detroit. To start this year, they have not been particularly good at that. And I think that, you know, to me, in many ways, that is where it starts, because if you give Aaron Rodgers a healthy running game, then what have you taken away from him? He's got everything working, and you're back on your heels the entire game. So if they can kind of get back to doing what they did last year, and I still think they've had some guys playing their way into shape that are important to that cause early in the year, then that allows you to kind of set your sights on Rodgers and figure some things out. But I do believe it's imperative to just try to take something away from him, because if everything's clicking, can become a very long night dealing with him.
I think Snacks might be the greatest nickname ever. But is that a nickname where you could Dan, call him Snacks to his face?
Yeah, yeah, he doesn't mind that. You know, he's kind of a quiet guy and kind of keeps to himself anyway, but, you know, he'll certainly answer to that. And, you know, if you did it once and you found out he didn't like it, you wouldn't do it twice.
Yeah.
He's a big dude, man. So, but it's, yeah, that's an all-time nickname right there. And he has fun with it. If you look at his Twitter account, he was doing a Snacks bracket this past, off-season in the training camp where he was deciding the best snack ever and had everybody voting on it. So he has some fun with it.
Monetize everything. That's the key to life.
I mean, he's 6'3", 353 pounds. Somebody asked me a couple of weeks ago. They said, why do they call him Snacks? I said, what else the hell you going to call him?
Yeah, I mean, there's probably an asterisk next to that as well, an estimated weight. He's a big dude, man. I don't know really what the exact weight is, but I will say this. This defense changed considerably last year when he arrived, but they've not kind of found that stride again yet this year. Teams have run the ball pretty successfully on him, and they got to figure out a way to stop that, because that really was something they leaned on heavily last year.
Granted, as we talked to Dan Miller, voice of the Lions here, Chuck and Winkler on the Fan, Packers-Lions tonight. Granted, our pool of people to survey is limited to primarily Packer fans, but we're getting a lot of predictions. I think people expect this game to be close tonight. If the Lions won, I don't know if we'd be upset, but I don't know if we'd be shocked. This Lions team, from where we're at, they're 2-1-1. They had that game against the Cardinals, so they're looking better. They almost beat the Chiefs. They beat the Chargers. They beat the Eagles. We're just not really sure what to make of this team yet, because I think sometimes we've seen these Lions teams be good, but the Lions, almost because of their history, have to continue to prove that if this team is different, if they are good, they have to go kind of against history and prove it over and over. So the question I'll ask you is, from what we know now, is this Lions team, are they good? Are they for real at this point?
Everything you just said is spot on, and it's, you know, I've lived that, the ups, the downs, the believing in a team, and then all of a sudden it kind of crashes. But look, I thought coming into this season, just looking at that roster, that this was going to be a good team. I really felt like they had upgraded that and they were in good shape. I didn't see any huge holes for this team, which you had seen in the past. But then it comes down to can you do it? And can you go out on the field and play to that roster? I didn't understand some of the national guys. I mean, we kept hearing from national people that the Lions were, you know, 28th in the power rankings and going to go 4-12 or 5-11, and I just didn't see that. And it makes you wonder, are you too close to it? Are you too biased? But I think this is a good team. But to everything you just said, you have to go out and prove it. And I think this, I've said this to people. In the past, it was always, you would talk about the Lions, and you would say, well, can they? Can they do this? Can they do this? I know they can. I know the talent on this team is capable. I think it goes from can to will for this team. Will they play up to their potential? Because if they do, I think they're going to be right there in December, and I think they're going to be battling for a playoff spot or possibly a division title, depending upon how this thing breaks. But I like this team. I think it's more balanced. I think Daryl Bevel has added something as an offensive coordinator that has freed Matthew Stafford up a little bit. We are really, really early in the season, and yeah, they did let one get away with an 18-point lead in Arizona in the fourth quarter, ending up in a tie. But I like this team, but I also know this. This division is brutal, and I don't think there's a whole lot of difference between any of these four teams. There may be a difference in the way they do it, but I think all these teams, nobody should be shocked if any one of these four teams, in my opinion, ends up sitting on top of this thing at the end of December.
Dan Miller, voice of the Lions, joining us. Chuck and Winkler on the Fan as we preview Packers-Lions all day long here on 105.7 FM, The Fan, AM 1250. We were talking last week a lot about Matt Stafford, Matthew Stafford, whatever, John Stafford. We were talking a lot about him because I think that he's the second best quarterback in the division. I put him in a case where we haven't, because of the kind of teams he's been on, do we really know how good he could have been? If you would put him, if you want to play hypothetical for a second, Dan, if we put him, if he was a Patriot and he was there for all of the Bill Belichick runs, I don't think the Patriots lose that much if they have a guy like Matt Stafford there. I think that because of how bad the Lions have been, he's going to go and have this career sort of maybe a little underrated, and we're never really going to know how good of a quarterback that he is.
Yeah, and that's been disappointing. It's hard to project. Look, I think if anything has been discovered about Matthew Stafford here in Detroit, it is that he's probably not somebody you regard up there with a Brady or a Rodgers or a Breeze, guys that can just do it and will themselves regardless of what's missing on the team and find a way to help your guys win. I think credit to Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia when they came in here and started looking at things and figuring out and studying the past, they figured, you know what, you need to really support this guy. You need to give him a running game. They've been better than 23rd in the league in rushing one time in Matthew Stafford's career. And that's not because they weren't throwing the ball, they weren't running the ball. It's because they couldn't run the ball. But he's not somebody that just lifts you up and overcomes all those things. He's not in that class. But I think he's in that next group right there. That if you are able to support him and give him what he needs to win, I think he can absolutely win. And look, he's about to go over 40,000 yards faster than any quarterback in the history of the game, and he's going to have a lot of marks like that. But the thing that's missing on his resume is winning. And I think that this offense, I think, is really well tailored to him. They changed the offensive coordinators. I think Jim Bob Cooter did some great things for him, kind of took Matthew Stafford off the high wire, took away some of the interceptions and head-scratching throws. But I think he also reined him in too much. I think Daryl Bevel has come in, added a running game, or at least wants to add a running game, hasn't been particularly consistent, and then wants Matthew to continue to take shots downfield, which we hadn't seen for the past couple of years. So it's a long way of saying, I think he's a really good quarterback. The story has not been written yet, and he's got a lot of things left to prove. And if he can prove some of those things, then he'll be moved up into being regarded as some of those other quarterbacks are. But I credit Quinn and I credit Patricia in that they have really done a deep dive on what he's capable of and what he needs to win. And I think that's the shape of this roster and what they've tried to do, and just do everything they can to give him what he needs to win. Because I believe he can win with them, but the situation's got to be right.
And Stafford caught a bad break with Calvin Johnson retired early. And you're right, wins, I think wins, unfortunately, for some of these guys, it defines a quarterback. Mm-hmm. You got to have that signature win. You got to win division titles. You got to win playoff games. And the fact that he hasn't done either of those yet, that's the knock on him. And until he starts winning those type of games, and it's not entirely his fault, but until he does, maybe he won't get the credit.
No question. You could throw all those numbers up there, and there will be, you know, in the next year, numbers that will put Matthew Stafford above a ton of Hall of Fame quarterbacks in terms of accumulated yardage and the quickness in which he's done it and things like that. But if you don't win, you know, you're Dominique Wilkins, for a lack of a better way of putting it. You have to win. You may be considered a great player in terms of putting up numbers, but quarterbacks are judged on what they do in the postseason. And I think he's absolutely good enough to be one of those guys, but I also think that he needs the support, and I think that this is probably one of the better, if not the best, supporting casts he's had. They had a very good one in 2014 with a terrific defense. The offense just wasn't ready for prime time that year. That was probably the other year that I would say sticks out to me, where they had a historically good defense against the run, but the offense just couldn't score enough, and that was probably a good shot that they had. We'll see how this one develops, guys. There's a lot that I like about this team, and I think a lot of possibilities out there for them. But to what you said earlier in the show, it is a franchise that hasn't always taken advantage and hasn't taken advantage of those situations for a long time. You've got one now. This is a big opportunity tonight. Let's see what happens out there.
Dan Miller will be on the call tonight for the Detroit Lions Radio Network. Dan, we always appreciate catching up with you. Enjoy Lambeau, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. We always do. Great trip.
Dan Miller joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1935.
Ran into a guy from Kewaskum yesterday, a listener from Kewaskum. And he asked me, Chuck, what's the name of that website that for Blue Chew? BlueChew.com it is. I hope he's listening out there, because he said he's a loyal listener. He listens to us on the way.
Do they have internet in Kewaskum?
They have running water. They got that in 1986.
Okay.
I think they're on 1G.
Okay.
1G. But
they still have to put in a CD?
They do.
Okay.
Yeah, but enough to
still
get
works.
Us. Enough to get us. BlueChew.com. Player, this could help you out, man. If you're asking me to help you out, I'm going to help you out. BlueChew.com, offering men a performance enhancement for the bedroom. Yeah, you can go longer with that lady in Kewaskum. Maybe go a few extra rounds. It'll help not only if you live in Kewaskum or you live in Campbellsport or you live in Menomonee Falls, Germantown, West Dallas, anywhere. BlueChew.com is delivering for you guys. And I'm here to tell you, chewables from Blue Chew can be taken on a full or an empty stomach, and they have the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. And also, too, it's not like you got to go to the doctor for this. You don't have to go to the doctor. You get online. You go to BlueChew.com. You get online with an affiliated physician. They'll ask you a couple of questions, and if things check out, you'll prescribe quickly online. So you don't have to go to the doctor. You don't have to have those awkward conversations. You don't have to wait in line at the pharmacy. These ingredients will ship right to your door directly in discreet packaging, so all is good. Chewables from BlueChew.com, prescribed online by a doctor right here in the great United States of America. So if you have a little issue in the bedroom, guys, you need some performance enhancement, Blue Chew is here, man. These chewables, well, again, same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. And better yet, this deal, guys, for you, BlueChew.com, your first order, free. When you use the promo code Chuck, you pay the $5 in shipping, and that's it. That's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code Chuck. You pay the $5 in shipping, and that is it, man. What a great way to turn around your relationship. Chew it and do it with Blue Chew.
The Packers-Lions tonight should be interesting, as we talked with Dan Miller, voice of the Lions. When we take a look at the opponent, that's always brought to you by our friends at Coach's Pub and Grill. South 13th, they've got the Southside's best wings, 12 awesome sauces to choose from, $6.95 for 10 wings Mondays, which is today, and Saturdays. Check out the specials during the game as well. Now open as well, Coaches on Lake Dunoon. Coaches Pub and Grill, South 13th. We're spending all this time talking about how our team from Wisconsin is going to do against their team from Michigan. This should actually probably be a blowout tonight, because the proof is in the numbers, and we'll.
I think they certainly have been doing a good job during the week of preparing and kind of knowing what's coming and getting ready to go. And it doesn't mean you never take it for granted, but this group likes playing, you know, and so when you get an opportunity to play, they're going to be ready, and you appreciate it happening, right? Because it's That's not easy.
Paul Chris, Badgers head coach, talking about the team's dominance in first half of games this season. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Badgers on the season have outscored their opponents 152-3 in the first half of games. Now, they've played three teams from Michigan. Packers from Wisconsin, Lions from Michigan. Mm-hmm. If those two sort of things are related in any way, the Packers have outscored the three teams from Michigan in the first half, 89-0. Remember, they beat Central Michigan 61-0. The Badgers, right? Thanks. Yep. The Badgers beat Central Michigan 61-0. They beat Michigan 35-14. They beat Michigan State, and I don't think anybody saw that coming. 38-0.
God, was I hoping they were going to shut them out at the end, too. I was like pulling for it, and then they picked them off on the goal line. I mean, they've done something very few teams have done. Shut out teams four times in the first six games? That's a rarity. Now,
there weren't a lot of people still around when the Badgers were going for that shutout.
Well, there weren't a lot of people there to start the game, I felt, too. I mean, I don't want to get this whole student
section. I do, because here's the thing. Knock it off. Stop talking about the students.
Well, people...
People in the first quarter, they look over to the student section, and they say, when I was singing varsity, I got to the game 30 minutes early
It's been a problem forever.
No, so that's what they say. They go, look at that, Janine. Look over there. None of the students are there. What are they doing, drinking?
No.
I never drank back in my day, son.
No, because when that student wasn't going to games either.
And then it's the third quarter, and that same guy's like, all right, honey, looks like this one's in the bag. Let's go and beat traffic, eh? Come on, the Badgers have this one. I want to rest the rest of this game at home anyway, there. Huh, there, honey?
All right, let me tell you this. The guy we just heard from, Paul Chris, not that guy right there. I think Paul Chris
was every other hypocritical
alumni, the guy who's wearing the red pants.
Yeah.
Red pants and the red sport coat. Now listen, this guy here, Paul Chris, I think has got to talk more about his team. I don't feel like he brags enough about his team. You know, I'm not saying he's got to be a complete politician up there, but still, I just feel like after press conferences, his team is good. All right, do some politicking for your team.
Yeah,
that's
not the Badger way. Badger way is to stay focused and get it done on the field.
Very, very certainly did.
I think I saw Barry the other day. I was at the gas station, big fat guy.
No,
no hair. I think it was Barry. Yeah. I was too shy to say anything,
Barry,
though.
At 75, he can still kick somebody's ass, Barry.
But I started singing Varsity to myself, and he looked the other way. I know it was Barry.
Yeah. Well, I think Paul Chris has got to do some more chatting up his team a little bit.
By the way, that's my new character.
What part
of
Wisconsin
is he from?
Badger
fan.
From Monona?
Oh, I've lived in Monona for all my whole life. I'm so honored to have been able to go into the Badger school before admissions got tougher.
All right, so I'm pulling for Georgia to lose on Saturday afternoon because I want Wisconsin to keep on moving up in these rankings. I do. They moved up to six. They moved up a couple of spots this weekend. A convincing win, but I think, you know, just got to keep pulling for teams ahead of them to lose, and hopefully Wisconsin's going to have to run the table. They're going to have to beat Ohio State twice. Yeah, I'm not even. I am overlooking this game against Illinois on Saturday.
Well, they're a 29-point favorite
on the road. Yeah, no. Lovie Smith and his big gray beard have no shot in this one. You ever see Lovie these days?
Yeah, I'm surprised he's still there.
I am too. They must owe him a ton of money.
Who'd I see him in a picture with? Dick Butkus wasn't either this weekend?
Yeah, Dick with the Illinois.
Getting a statue put up or something.
Is that what it was? Yeah.
Yeah, Illinois's got nothing on us, see. We'll beat Lovie just like we beat him when he was with the Bears.
No, the week after that against Ohio State, that's the game of the year right there.
Shady.
That's the game of the year against Ohio State. You're going to have two top six, maybe a two top five teams going at it next week. After the Badgers dispose of the Fighting Illini?
I don't know why my old man Badger accent sounds like I'm prospecting for gold, but I just feel like there are so many people.
How old is that guy you're impersonating?
Oh, he's 95 years young.
You know, those guys used to all sit in the press box during games.
I wish the sir never got taken down.
I think Barry cleared them all out because there was cheering and all that. You see those guys in the red pants? And their 100-year-old wives, and they cleared them all out. Now I think they're in the W Club section.
You know, I got all these old guys that look at the students that don't come, and then they leave in the third quarter before the Badgers get the shuttle because they can't miss their 9-hole tee time at U Ridge.
If students are going to be late for games, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. What matters most to me, because people never used to go to games anyway, fans or students, is how well they're doing. And, you know, the way their defense is playing right now, hell, I mean, we've been down this road with Wisconsin before, unbeaten through a handful of games of the season. We're not at the midway point yet, but we're close. You know, I mean, at what point do you start taking Wisconsin seriously that they win a national championship?
Well, I think they have to beat Ohio State. Here's my hypothetical. Can they lose to Ohio State on the 26th, beat them in the Big Ten championship, and get in?
Or could you? How about this?
Because that's not going to guarantee them a spot. You're going to have an undefeated Oklahoma. You're going to have an undefeated Clemson. You're going to have an undefeated SEC winner, whether it's Bama or LSU. And then the loser of Bama or LSU is going to say, hey, we deserve to get in. And the SEC is going to be like, or the BCS or whatever the hell it is. They're going to be like, okay, sure. And Georgia lost to a bad South Carolina team. But every year I hear the same crap from Georgia. Well, we lost, but we play in a tough conference.
Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Well, I'm saying with Alabama, if they lose.
Notre Dame.
They're done. Yeah, well, that sucks for me and Notre Dame.
Well, what hurt for Notre Dame was
we needed Georgia to win that game.
Yeah, Georgia losing.
Yeah.
I mean, Notre Dame was convincing.
Jake Fromm was awful. He, you know what's funny about that game is he threw his first pick six of his career. He was just so damn bad. Three interceptions in the loss, and I thought he was going to be a Heisman favorite. At one point, a couple weeks back, I called Georgia the best team in college football. That's not the case. It's still Alabama.
Yeah, but Wisconsin.
Or is it LSU?
Or it's LSU.
My Gators going down.
They beat Florida. Been Death Valley.
Throw Ohio State's name in that list,
Ohio State, yeah.
Throw Wisconsin's name in that list. If you want to play the numbers and you want to play the statistics, well, I mean, they're just dominating
This is why there should be an 18 playoff, because Wisconsin, I think, the way they're going. Now, how about this? What if Wisconsin loses to Ohio State and Ohio State's not the representative from the Big Ten East somehow, but you lost to Ohio State?
So Wisconsin loses to Ohio State and on the 26th.
Then they come back.
And then they play Penn State.
And they win the Big Ten title.
I think I don't know. They just got to go undefeated. Wisconsin has to go undefeated.
You would think they're playing.
It is the only way they are assured in.
You would think they're playing Ohio State twice.
And even that I'm still worried about.
I was going to say, let's not sleep on Penn State in the Big Ten either. And let's not sleep on our boys, the Flecktones, PJ Fleck and the Fleckers.
Oh, for sure you can sleep on them guys.
The Flecktones.
The Flecktones.
Another big win for them, though.
The X is coming back to Bucky.
You know, thank God the Badgers lost to Minnesota last year, because if they didn't, this for sure would have been the year. They go undefeated. They run the table. They beat Ohio State.
Minnesota?
The Badgers choked in Minnesota Wisconsin with P.J. Fleck.
No.
Do you guys?
That ain't happening.
Here's what scares me a little bit
we
about the Badgers.
We held on to that
right?
X for 14 years, and then these hot shots, they weren't even alive the last time we lost the X.
You know what? Like last year.
X I used to pick for gold.
I think last year, like we're not counting the last 2 years in Packer football. We don't count last year for Badger football.
Hey, Michigan State did the run defense. The game plan to stop Jonathan Taylor in the first half was a solid game plan. Let's say Ohio State is much better with their run defense and their pass rush. Do you guys trust Jack Cohn to beat Ohio State on the road?
At some point, we got to stop bad-mouthing this guy. Because did you see the Heisman shirts that are out for him, Jackie Heisman?
Yeah, I'm not buying one of those.
No, but they're cool. But, I mean, they're cool. I mean, the guy's going out there, and he's completed 75% of his passes.
He was really, really good.
He was.
In their biggest game of the year in Michigan at the Big House, he was really good.
He was good on Saturday against Michigan State, too, Harvey.
He was. I'm worried about Ohio State.
All right, but you know what? You don't have to have him win games for you.
That's true. You got Jonathan Taylor.
You got Jonathan Taylor.
Quintez Cephas.
But you got receivers, too, who can make plays for the Badgers. I keep hearing this about Jack Cohn, but he keeps going out winning games.
So you're off the Team Mertz hype train.
Well, at this point, I think Jackie Heisman's proved himself, hasn't he?
You know what I'm off the hype train of it is just Jonathan Taylor doesn't even get 100 yards. All we want to do is rank these.
Well, he should have broken the record at home.
Yeah.
5,000 yards.
All records should be held by Alan Ameche. You know, I sat behind him in Trigonomics 105.
I thought it was Elroy Hirsch.
Alan and I go way back. We're going to see how our picks did this weekend.
Yeah.
Coming up. I need to give my vocal cords just a bit of a...
Y'all were teasing me for taking a no-name team for winning this past week. Or taking
one teased you or cared.
You did. You sure did.
What is up with you two? All you guys are doing is trying to get revenge on enemies that don't exist.
What is it with you guys and me? I'm in a great mood. besides the fact that I got a sick kid at home, I didn't argue with anybody on Twitter except one guy that always comes at us. It's the same dude. He always comes at us, and finally
because we block him, and then somehow he keeps coming back.
And we finally all had enough.
You guys just live life like me, man. Every day I wake up, there's butterflies in my room.
Oh, please.
There's little cartoon rabbits at my windowsill.
Oh, God.
They sing me a good morning song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Although lately, since you stopped drinking, you've been fine.
Well, that, come on.
I think there's a little correlation.
Let's keep
there.
That, come on.
You said it yourself.
Yeah,
you said
drunk.
Last week on the air, you said I haven't had a drink in 7 days.
Yeah, well, I'm back on the wagon.
Oh, you did? Oh,
well, I had a couple of brews the other day.
A few Chardonnays? What of it? He was at the Bill Michaels party.
Yeah, I went to Bill's house.
Did you have a few cocktails at the tiki bar?
As a matter of fact, I did.
Oh, the tiki bar was open at 30 degree temperatures?
No, it was cold. It was cold.
Yeah.
The pictures of that thing are beautiful, though.
It is beautiful in public. I was going to take a selfie. He'll tell you more about it later. It's Chuck and Winkler. We will look at our picks from the weekend, and then we'll again give you our pick for tonight, Packers-Lions. Chuck and Winkler on the Fan.
Who's going to win this weekend? Will they cover the spread? It's time to find out if Bart and Chuck know their stuff with their six-pack of picks. Served up by Otto's Wine and Spirits, locally owned since 1945, with 7 locations in Metro Milwaukee serving up the area's largest selection of beer, liquor, and wine at everyday low prices. This is Chuck and Winkler on AM 1250 and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler on The Fan. On Fridays, we give you our six-pack of picks, and then on Mondays, we hold ourselves accountable on those picks. I did not go through them all yet, but I don't know if it was a great week for us. Coming into the weekend, I was 7-3 on the year. Horvat 6-4. Chuck 5-5. I think 500 is about where we settled in. Let's start in the college football ranks. Chuck, you had Georgia State plus 4.5. I don't remember who they played.
Coastal Carolina.
Nor did I look this one up. How did it go?
Georgia State led up by 3 touchdowns at one point and cruised to a victory. So they got the outright win as a 4.5-point underdog. So they beat the Chanticleers, I think Coastal Carolina is.
Can you remind us again why you took this horrendously bad game?
Like the line move. I like Georgia State's quarterback. See, when you pick college games, you have to look for the smaller colleges because you look at the line moves and you just read I just go to the small town newspapers and read some of the stuff, and I just like Georgia State here.
All right. I had Cincinnati 7.5-point favorites over Houston. It was close, but I got that one on the road, so that's one for me. Horvat, you had USC plus 10.5, and you got that one.
Got that W. In fact, let's go back to that one real quick because I went against my 2 favorite teams on the point spread on Saturday, so Joey Badger should relax because I also went against Notre Dame. And I won that one, lost the Badgers one. Went 5-2 on Saturday. No big deal.
All right, so we all nailed our college football picks.
We did.
So looking good heading into Sunday where Chuck had the Cowboys minus 7.
I also told everybody to go against Rutgers, and Rutgers got their ass kicked.
Yeah, they are awful. Yeah. They need to cancel Rutgers.
Rutgers is bad. Keep going against
them. My 2-month-old son knows to go against Rutgers.
Until the line goes against them, just keep going against Rutgers.
They're pretty bad.
Yeah.
So you lost the Cowboys. You had them as a 7-point favorite.
And I told you, when I picked the Cowboys, Bart, I said, man, I'm going against my rule here of going on a heavy road favorite in the NFL, and I got burned.
I had Baltimore 10.5. I was looking pretty good there. Andy Dalton scored one late to screw me, so I lost that one.
Backdoor, I saw that.
And then Horvat had the Titans plus 2, and I don't even think they scored.
No, they actually did not, and they brought in Ryan Tannehill in the second half.
And he was worse.
He was bad. He marched down the field, all right? They're in the red zone twice, and they still don't put up points. They go for it on 4th down. At that point, I'm like, kick the field goal. Just kick the field goal. Marcus Mariota, by the way, cancel him. He's finished. Him and Jameis Winston. Worst NFL draft of all time. Worst 2 quarterbacks to go first. True or false, right?
Who else went with Jamarcus Russell?
Like, Winston was so bad yesterday, but he threw for 400 yards. Jameis Winston threw 5 interceptions yesterday, and he still outplayed Marcus Mariota.
Yeah,
that's
and he had 400 yards, too. I mean, he was amazing.
Yeah.
Except for the 5 picks.
Except for the 5 picks, right.
It was pretty good. So we all went 1-1 on the weekend. We all won our college games. We all lost our NFL games. I'm 8-4 on the season. Horvat 7-5, and Chuck is 6-6. You got to start playing your good picks in this.
I know.
What am I doing?
Well, you know what? I love
Johnny credit card cancels at 8-4.
You got to give your best picks here.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to lie, man. The Titans, that was my best NFL pick, I thought. I mean, you look at it, like, what does Tennessee do? They play like crap, then boom, they look like a dominant team. And they're playing against the Broncos, who up until like week 4 or 5 had no quarterback sacks. Yesterday, I turned on the game and they've gotten to Mariota like for the 7th time already in the first half. So all of a sudden, the pass rush is there. Von Miller was all over the field. It was just an embarrassing loss. I shouldn't have backed Tennessee. I should have gave out the New York Jets money line pick. Well, you live and you learn, though, right?
I'll tell you, Cleveland. I thought Cleveland was going to be the play yesterday. The way it started off, man, Cleveland came out and they looked great.
You know, I won't be mad at either of you because everybody makes mistakes. Right.
Well, why would you be mad at me?
You guys are talking about, you know, I said this.
I go back to the show on Friday. I agreed with you on Cleveland.
Yeah, no, but you know, everybody makes mistakes.
I agreed with you on Cleveland.
I'm setting something up here. Everybody makes mistakes. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to make mistakes.
Uh-oh.
Again?
You forgot to give up.
Your keyword this hour is
we're doing
speaker. Your 9 o'clock keyword is speaker. Text speaker, S-P-E-A-K-E-R, to 72881, and you can win $1,000. Speaker.
No song? Speaker going hammer.
I mean,
rammer.
You did that Rod Stewart song, that speaker's in the window. And,
I was thinking Soulja Boy, speaker's going hammer.
How about Trish Speaker?
I was just deleting some emails as you guys were talking about how great you are, and I have a notification, do the cash keyword. And I thought, oh my God. Speaker. Text speaker to 72881. Your next keyword will be in 5 minutes.
Will it be speaker again?
To 72881. No, stick around though. We've got another chance for you to win $1,000 in just a few minutes. All right, Bill Michaels up next, 10 to 2. The Big Show, those guys live on site in Green Bay from 2 to 6. Bill and Gary will have the post game show for you. And then once that show ends and you think, gosh, I just want more coverage, well, Radio Joe's going to be with you till about 1, 2, 3 in the morning.
As long as he wants to, isn't it?
I think as long as people keep calling. So if it's 1 o'clock,
yeah,
call him and keep him up. Yeah.
Keep him up, yeah.
Keep him up, call him, robocall him, sign our number up for spam calls so calls keep coming in just so Joe can do that show for as long as possible. All right?
Go Pack tonight.
Yeah, we've all got the Packers to win. So that means we'll be talking about a Packers loss tomorrow. We'll be here at 6. Bill Michaels up next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.